We'll get after it in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the first week of September 2007, this is The Rain Report, available as a free weekly download and podcast from therainreport.com. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. This week, we'll bring you the first of a handful of programs you'll hear over the next couple of months, excerpting some talks from the 2007 Dayton Hamvention Live Town Hall Forum. To introduce this series, here's forum moderator, Amateur Radio Newsline's co-founder and producer, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
Welcome to the future. Yes, the title of the session is A Beginner's Look at the Digital Future of Amateur Radio. But we're really here to gaze into a giant crystal ball. 20 years from now, maybe 30 years from now, will this amateur radio service that we all belong to exist as we know it? What is today's ham radio going to look like? How will we assimilate into a much larger group that 20, 25 years from now may be called telecommunications hobbyists? We don't know. We have no idea. In that paradigm, what one terms as a CUSO might be called a communications exchange. You like the term?
Neither do I.
That's where in Party A will request that his or her all-purpose wrist radio, imagine a radio on your wrist being your entire ham station. Don't think it can't happen. Where your all-purpose communications tool, you'll say, please establish communications between Party A and Party B and tell me when the Party B is there. Maybe it's me talking to a ham radio friend. Who knows? The example I've often used is one of being a writer on winter vacation in the Caribbean. And I tell my little wrist radio to find my friend Charlie, WA0KDC in Hiawatha, Kansas. And suddenly my little screen lights up and there's Charlie. And he's plowing, getting rid of all the snow in front of his house. And there I am sitting on the beach drinking a Mai Tai.
Wouldn't you rather have the Mai Tai?
The contact will be crystal clear audio and video. And the routing may be 100% ham radio of some sort, using a mode we may not even know today. It could be 100% broadband. Maybe that contact may be going through the telephones. We won't know it. Or it could be a combination of both, radio and broadband. We won't be concerned with the technology that makes it happen. What we're going to worry about is, can we talk to the person? Now, this is one of the things that's bothered me as I've been doing this research. And a lot of the research is based on my background. I'm a television broadcast engineer. I see what's happening in our industry. And we're being forced into these many, many, many changes that we really don't know where they're going to take us. So as a ham myself, I know this is a world of hobby communications that most of you can envision, much less accept. I know that I have a problem accepting it. But if you take a step back and begin to think of how the overall paradigm of telecommunications is shifting, it becomes very clear that fortunately or unfortunately, and I'm not going to make any judgments, this is where we're headed. And to make it happen, ham radio has to transition from analog to digital. A lot of people just have no idea what really digital communications is, where it's heading, what it is. So I asked a friend of mine from out in California, who's going to be here anyway, who's very much involved in digital amateur radio, in the equipment end of it, to come up here and just give you an overview. He's going to explain basically what ham radio digital communications is. His name is Jeff Reinhardt. His call is AA6JR. You may have heard him on Newsline. And he's also a company rep for AOR. Jeff, it's all yours.
I'm going to start this off on digital communications. You want to take notes on this, that's fine. And 0010001007. Little digital humor there. My wife says to me, why is it you go to Dayton each year? I said, it's to meet the ladies. You know, look around the room. You know. We're here largely because not only do we love our significant others, but we love ham radio. And we have this deep abiding love for communications. I have the honor not only of working occasionally for Bill for about the same salary I get for volunteering other places, but doing Newsline, it's a lot of fun. I also write for CQ, two columns, one on mobiling and one on just general stuff, and it's a lot of fun. The common elements that come through on all of this is we love to communicate. We love the gee-wow aspects of it from CW right up through the cutting-edge stuff. So what about this digital thing? Where are we going with it? And it's a good logical question to come forward with because you're here to learn more about it. We did a forum yesterday that talked about digital voice and a lot of interest there. We had 150 people in a forum who wanted to learn about the hardware aspects of what we're doing at AOR. But it isn't just AOR. Everybody's looking at it. ICOM's got their D-Star system out there. The interesting thing about that is that the D-Star system and the AOR system use the same vocoder chip. But the difference is you're using formats that aren't compatible with each other. ICOM is getting excellent audio out of their system. We're getting excellent audio out of ours. They're using a lot more bandwidth, which is why I believe you see them on VHF and UHF. They can tell you more about that. I don't know the technical side of their system, but they're moving some data with it as well. We're just doing the voice because on HF, we're trying to fit all that signal into the normal SSB bandwidth. We want to be good neighbors in doing that. And I'm not here to do a commercial for our system. What I'm pointing to is this. We've got to settle on some standards. Okay, now, you know, D-Star, as I say, does a whole different thing, and it's a different mode of communications, and I have no problem at all with how it's working. It seems to be doing very well with ICOM. But on HF, for example, there's WinDRM, there's some sound card programs that are out there. There are some programs that we've learned, you know, sometimes require two sound cards to run and that kind of thing, and yet still none are approaching the quality that we're getting out of the vocoder chip. Now, we can go the sound card route, and certainly as hams, we are open to experimentation. I mean, that's a large portion of what we're about. But eventually, for digital to really make an impact on what we do in our day-to-day communications in this hobby, we've got to have standards. If, in fact, you know, you have brand X, a VHF radio, you have brand Y, and you have brand Z, and they all have proprietary formats, and you can't communicate with each other across brand platforms, what have we achieved? We've taken ourselves down several levels.
You're listening to our first excerpt from the Beginner's Look at the Digital Future of Amateur Radio Forum, held at the 2007 Dayton Hamvention. We'll return to Jeff Reinhart, AA6JR's talk, in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available via telephone access at 773-358-7845. That's 773-358-7845. This is the Rain Report.
Think about it. Our stock in trade is being emergency responders, the folks who showed up after Katrina with stuff that worked because it was simple and it was easy to set up. It was robust and we had independent ownership of our radios and we knew how to work them and we were there to make an impact. But following an emergency, if we can't communicate across manufacturers' platforms, we've taken a giant step back. And quite frankly, we've perhaps done some irreversible damage to our hobby. So we need to settle on some standards if, in fact, we're going to go with digital. In fact, following 9/11 in New York City, one agency, I believe it was the fire department, had the digital, the police department had the analog, and they couldn't communicate with each other. And that's still, what, 6 years down the road, is not a resolved situation within the Homeland Security issue. So if they're not solving it at that level, we have to be very, very careful at our level before we dig ourselves into a corner or actually do more harm to our hobby than good. Now, we're using on AOR system. Our engineers chose to go with an open published protocol that we did not invent. It's called the G4GUO protocol. It's the call of the ham in England. It was actually developed as a modem protocol. Anybody can use that platform and build to it. Quite often we get the question, well, can I get the source code? Can I put it in my sound card? Can I make it work that way? And the answer is no. Not that we didn't do anything magic there, but the way we got the audio quality, and sound card programs are out there, folks use them, we get the audio quality because of that vocoder chip. It's much faster, it can process a lot more data than any sound card that's presently out there. Now, there may be somebody who's aware of some new whiz-bang or what have you, but this open published protocol is something we'd like to see. The other thing, by using the box that we have, you can use it on any brand of radio. You can use it on your ICOM, Yaesu, Elinco, Tentec, whatever. It's workable across all those platforms. We'd love to see an OEM chip go to the manufacturers. We've knocked on their doors, and they're not quite ready to make that leap yet. If they hear it from you, it may be a little bit different. But where do we go down the road? What does this future that Bill referred to take us to? I don't see us going there overnight. We did a little speech yesterday, and part of the axiom we wanted folks to go out of the room with was, yeah, digital's cool, and you hear it, you hear the audio. It sounds like FM. It is just terrific audio quality. It's very difficult to beat. But there's two axioms. Ice cream melts, and digital needs signal. It is not a weak signal mode, necessarily. You've got to have signal. We say we like to see S5 or better. We've had anecdotal evidence that you can work on less depending on conditions. We're still learning. We're still learning an awful lot. We're learning a lot from the users of the system that we have out there. I dare say, with probably little chance of refutation, we probably have the most units in common use out there. We've placed over 1,000 of our digital voice units through North America alone. They are also in use in Europe and Asia, though not to the extent that they are in North America. But That's only 1,000 out of an installed base of how many hundreds of thousands of hams as there are in the U.S. We realize we'd have a long way to go. The future as we see it isn't going to be one of instantaneous transition. We've got to learn. We've got to get more signal strength through the sunspot cycle. We've got to understand the conditions under which the digital works, and we've got to understand the conditions under which it does not. So I see it as a new mode. And I tell folks when they come and visit us, you know, you look at the front of your radio right now, you've got buttons that say AM, FM, upper, lower, sideband, CW. It'd be nice to someday have that button there that says digital. But right now, we're at the next best place. We've got the add-on box that gives you that capability without having to go in and do surgery on your radio. It's pretty much plug and play to make that work. I see a gradual transition. And we've seen this now. We've been promoting the digital platform for, this is our third Dayton of doing this. You know, there were the first few who came kind of dip their toes in the water, and then there's the few who come on. This year, the response has been phenomenal. It's really been terrific. The number of people who are really, truly interested in saying, yeah, I want to give this a try. And that's what we're saying. I don't want to stand in front of anybody and say that digital is going to solve every problem you have in communications. It's like any other experimental mode. If some of you did packet, if some of you got into PSK31, if some of you were doing AMTOR, PACTOR, GTOR, RTTY, there's a learning curve with every one of those. But the rewards make it worth it, because not only do you learn something, but you also participated in the larger sense where all of ham radio does indeed profit by your experimentation. There's probably at least a person or two or three in this room who could write an article and submit it to CQ or one of the other publications and end up, you know, sharing that little bit of wisdom that you may have learned. We'd love to see D-Expeditions try this out. Let's understand some of the conditions under which it works. We know it's not a pile-up medium. That's just not going to work as far as digital is concerned. But what does it do, and where can it work, and under what circumstances? So that's going to be the fun part of it. And there's a few of us in this room who are the brave new world. We'll try anything once. There's a few in this room who don't want to be the first one to put that money out there and give it a try. There's a few in this room who are saying, okay, well, you know, 60% of hams are involved in this. Yeah, it's about time for me to jump into it. I can't say exactly where we are in those stages, but I can say this. It's a heck of a lot of fun. I'd love to see us agree as a community of ham radio operators that we'd like to go with a protocol or protocols that are interchangeable or at least universal platforms that at least give us a firm foundation on which to start so that we can start amassing this knowledge that we're looking to accumulate out there. So it's going to be a gradual ramping up. I don't see digital replacing every other form of communications, but I do see it as taking its place among the established forms of communications. And you're the folks who are going to be at the vanguard of helping to make that happen.
That was Jeff Reinhardt, AA6JR, delivering the first presentation at the 2007 Dayton Hamvention Live Town Hall meeting entitled A Beginner's Look at the Digital Future of Amateur Radio. Next time, we'll hear from CQ's Rich Moseson, W2VU, on the necessity for regulation by bandwidth. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2007. RAIN, all rights reserved. Now for RAIN's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you very 73 from all of us at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.